The Today's Homeowner Radio Podcast is brought to you by The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
Welcome to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, your partner in home improvement. Everyone has questions about their home. We've got the answers, and we have a few laughs along the way. Informative, entertaining, and sometimes off the wall. Home improvement has never been this much fun.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. I'm Danny Lipford, along with my co-host, Joe Truini. And this week, like every week, we've got a lot of information lined up for you because you're at the most practical, realistic, most current home improvement information you're going to find anywhere. We certainly pride ourselves on being able to keep you up to date and provide you as much information each and every week as we possibly can. This week, we're going to be talking about a lot of different things, including some hurricane shutters. Not everybody has to deal with these, but anytime you have an area that you have some really tough weather and so forth, it might be something you want to consider. Also, we have somebody about to tackle a big paint job on their cabinets. We're going to get them started in the right direction. And also, people are starting to really look at the cold weather and what they can do to make it through the winter. Also, Joe's, of course, got a simple solution for us. Joe, what can we expect later in this hour?
Well, I have a quick tip on how to apply caulk like a pro, because last week we were talking about the importance of caulking all those cracks and little holes around your house, because you have all that cold air going to be rushing in pretty soon. So just a quick tip on how to apply caulk so it's most effective.
Oh, fantastic. Joe, a little trivia here for you. Did you know that this is show number 721? That has absolutely no significance other than, we should really be good at this by now. You know what I mean?
We're getting the hang of it, as you say. Yes, 721. So that goes back, I guess the show dates back, the radio show dates back to 09 or so.
That's
is that
right.
What I remember? Yeah. I didn't join the show till 3 or 4 years ago. I'll have to find that. I think at least 4 years ago. But yeah, the show keeps growing and growing. In fact, I understand we're adding another new station we'll be talking about a little later. But yeah, 721. That sounds about right.
We really do enjoy being with you each and every week. And matter of fact, we don't miss many shows. I mean, you know, I know some of the nationally syndicated shows, they'll take off from time to time and they'll have their producer put things together. Boy, we rarely do that. Matter of fact, even though I'm going to be on the road next week, I'm still going to do the radio show. But I don't know if it'll be from Grand Canyon or Zion National Park or Bryce Canyon National Park. I'm not really, I might even be sitting in the Painted Desert. Who knows?
Well, that's a beautiful part of the country. I've been there several times. I love it. I used to go out to conventions in Las Vegas at least twice a year for many, many years. And I used to fly into Vegas, but fly out of like Phoenix or some other city, and I'd rent a car and take 2 or 3 days. In fact, you and I took a fishing trip, a trout fishing trip. We went up through that part of the northern, you know, Arizona, southern Utah. It's just spectacular. If anyone's not been out there, you got to go. It's just, it really is pretty spectacular.
Yeah, it certainly is amazing, and it shows you how big this country is, because you get out into some of those areas and some of those plains, and you're seeing so far away and some majestic things. So anyway, I'm looking forward to it. I've got two of my girls and some friends, so I'm going to do a lot of hiking, a lot of, you know, a lot of fun there. Hey, I want to remind everybody that, you know, you can go to YouTube and search the Today's Homeowner Podcast. We're doing these shows live right now. So, and we're able to record them and put them right on YouTube. So you can see Joe and I cutting up a little bit while you're listening to the radio show. So I want to remind you about that. Also, one of the things we're going to start doing here, we're going to have a Corey Wilson, our great engineer and producer, kind of start cleaning out the closet. Remember, we used to do this years ago during the holidays, Joe, it's not really cleaning out the closet, as you might think. It's more taking some of the great props from that we've already used that we don't need anymore and that are not used but just have been photographed and videographed and all. So we're going to start giving a little bit of that away. So stay tuned on that. We're going to have a lot of giveaways, a lot of fun things that we do throughout the holidays. It's always a lot of fun on that.
Yeah, well, that stuff does pile up after a while, right? When you're continuously shooting videos and photographs of products. And how many like screw guns can you possibly own? How many hammers and screwdrivers do you need? So, yeah, I think that's great. And you have any swag you're going to give away? You got any Danny Lipford hats? Or?
Well, matter of fact, we just, that was one of the things. You're snatching that right out from under me here. This brand new 25th anniversary Today's Homeowner hats. And, of course, 25th year means silver. So we kind of changed our logo up a little bit. And so that'll also be part of our giveaways that are coming up very soon here on Today's Homeowner Radio. But right now, we kind of wanted to, you know, let you know one of the things that we really like for you to do, of course, take care of home improvements. And if you don't like to get your hands dirty, you need to know a little bit about how to hire the project done. But either way, no matter what, with wintertime right around the corner, there's always opportunities for some unsafe situations. And that can start with the space heaters. One of the things I want to remind you with those space heaters, you know, technically you're not supposed to use an extension cord. Now, if you use a really good heavy duty extension cord, you know, that's not that long, maybe that's okay. But you want to plug it in as often as you can. You also want to make sure you're not buying one of those cheap heaters that do not have the tip over switch. You want one that if it does get knocked over accidentally, you know, somebody playing ball in the house, an animal or whatever, you want it to cut off immediately. Extremely important. And it's highly recommended by those that, you know, are really studying fire safety, is to never sleep with your space heater on. That might be kind of strange to some people, but go ahead and heat up the room, get you a couple extra blankets, and you want to make sure that you are nice and safe when you're sleeping with that space heater around.
Yeah, and you should also never put them anywhere near anything flammable. Too often you see people plug them in like right near a window, which makes sense because, of course, cold air is coming in through the window or the door, and then you have drapery. So you know, be really careful with that. And the other thing, if you're going to use an extension cord, buy one that's it's usually rated, it's called like an air conditioner or a refrigerator extension cord, a relatively short, 5 or 6 feet, really thick. Now, this is only if you're if the manufacturer says you can use one. But if you're going to, as Danny said, it's much better off to plug it directly into the outlet. And yeah, as far as the warming up a bedroom, close all the doors, shut all the, close the drapes, turn on the heater like maybe an hour before you go to sleep. And then, you know, when you get in there, it'll be nice and toasty warm and you can turn it off.
Now, Joe, you've lived in the Northeast your whole life. You kind of like the cold weather.
I love it.
A lot. But what are some of the tricks when you're talking about, you know, that big freeze is coming and you know that the next morning those steps are going to be almost impossible to walk on outside or your landing or sidewalks or whatever. Yeah. What do you do and what do you recommend to people to keep that safe when you leave out them early in the morning?
Well, that's very timely because I just rebuilt our front porch and it's all new pressure treated wood. And in the morning when there's a little dew on it and it's frosty, it is slick. My wife mentioned it. She almost slipped and fell the other day. So there's a couple things you do. First, there are pre-treatments that are relatively new. It's kind of like if you've ever been on an airplane before taking off, they'll de-ice the plane. They spray the wings. Well, there's a product like that. It's based on the same technology. You can spray surfaces prior to a snow or ice event. I think you can spray it up to 24 hours before or 48 hours before. So that'll prevent the ice or snow from sticking, make it easy to clear it off. You know, they have the abrasive tape that you can put down, you know, dry the surface really well and stick that down at the near the edge of the steps. Handrails, make sure you have lots of handrails. And in the morning, you just really have to be careful. You know, once the sun comes up, you know, even if it doesn't get above freezing, the sunlight will take that frost off. If it's ice, you have to avoid it, you know, until you have a chance to break off that ice. But yeah, it's basically just being really careful, especially in the morning.
And flamethrowers are not recommended.
You want to leave on wood decks. Yeah,
the flamethrower. Leave that in the garage. It's not appropriate for that right now.
Danny has a leaf blower and he's trying to convert it into a propane torch.
Yeah, it's a little dangerous adaptation there. But you know, and of course, we also want to, you know, the fires. Everybody loves a nice fire. Make sure that fireplace is ready for the winter. Have it inspected. Have it cleaned. Have anything repaired so that that's nice and safe. And make sure that's good. Carbon monoxide smoke alarms. If they're over 10 years old, throw them away. Get you some brand new ones. The good news, the new batteries are lithium batteries, and they'll last for 10 years, so you don't have to worry about that. Also, great time to insulate all of those exposed water pipes that you may have in unheated areas. Get some of the foam stripping, go around all of those pipes, make it nice and to keep it from freezing. So you just kind of want to get ahead of things a little bit, because when that weatherman starts announcing that cold weather coming right around the corner, you won't be able to find what you need at the home centers. They sell out very quick. Hey, we're just getting started on today's Homeowner Radio this week. I'm Danny Lipford along with my buddy Joe Truini. We've got some great information for you. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
At the Home Depot, we have Black Friday savings all through November. And with that comes a joyful holiday bustle that we just love to hear. Although we also love the sound that comes after the holidays, when people put their new tools to use. In fact, we love it so much, when you buy select Milwaukee M18 kits, you'll get an extra tool for free. So after you're done filling the air with holiday magic, you can fill it with the sounds of doing. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. You know, we're nationally syndicated all over the country, and yeah, there's hundreds and hundreds of programs that are available for stations to air. So we're real proud when we can announce a brand new station that's joined the Today's Homeowner Network. This one is in Youngstown, Ohio, WHTX AM 1570 and 97.7 FM. General Manager Carl Bloom, we certainly appreciate your confidence in putting us on the air, and I guarantee you we'll build a strong audience there, just like we've done all the way across the country. But we want to help you out with any of the challenges that you may have as a homeowner, and we make it about as easy as it can be. Pick up the phone and call us at 800-946-4420 or send us an email anytime you wish at todayshomeowner.com/ask. Right now we're going to go to Saratoga Springs, New York. Jeffrey's on the line. Jeffrey, how can we help you?
I've got a question about my sister's house down in West Melbourne, Florida. I was down visiting her when Hurricane Ian hit, and I helped her put up her hurricane shutters. And luckily where she was, there was really no damage at all for around her area.
Oh, good.
The problem I had was that a number of the screws that I put back into the anchors in the masonry wall, they seemed like they were stripped inside, like the anchor was stripped, and I couldn't tighten them back down. I'm wondering if there's any way I can get them to retighten up for next time.
So the anchors that are in the wall, they felt like they were just spinning around?
Yeah, well, I you know, take the screws out, and after I put the shutters back up, I screwed in, but I couldn't catch in the anchor with the screws. I don't know whether they were spinning inside or they were broken or what. I'm just wondering if there's, like I said, anything I can do to shore them up.
And they were screws or they were bolts you were using through the metal shutters?
I'm going to say it's a bolt.
Okay. Well, it's not very common, because the thing is you just simply don't use these things very often. So there's not much that can go wrong. Very typical for insects to build little nests in there, things like that. But you can try a longer bolt to see if it will catch threads down in there. You can try a longer one. You can try a larger one. But you just really have to determine if that anchor is spinning or it actually, you know, stripped out. I'll tell you, a lot of times they use lead anchors on those. And, of course, lead's very soft, so it can strip out fairly easy. And worst-case scenario, you'll need to take some needle-nose pliers and work with it a little bit, pull that anchor out, and then put another one in that will work, and then you probably would have to dab a little epoxy glue on the outside of that when you insert it back into that hole. And that way it'll be in there, it'll be fixed, it'll be ready for when you need it the next time. But it's possible a larger bolt or a bigger diameter bolt may take care of it and not have to do anything with the anchor itself.
Yeah, that sounds like a great idea. I will definitely try that next time I'm down in Florida in a few months.
Well, that's very nice of you to take care of your sister like that, because, boy, it can be, I'll tell you, when you're starting to, you know, you're watching the weather, you're trying to make the guess, should we cover up or should we not? And, you know, of course, as soon as you start, from my experience, as soon as I start putting up my covers over my windows, the storm goes the other way. It's a magical thing. You start putting it on, it goes the other way. So that's how I'm able to save our area from storm damage.
It's very nice of you, Danny.
Thank you very much, guys. I really appreciate your
Hey, our pleasure, Jeffrey. Thanks so much for being with us today on today's Homeowner Radio. You have a great weekend.
of the most of my life in Connecticut, but I did spend 4 years down in Coconut Grove, just south of Miami. And so I have some experience with those hurricane shutters. And you're right, it seems like, you know, if you don't put them up, the hurricane is going to sweep right through your neighborhood, so you better put them up. But I was talking to my old roommate who still lives down in Miami, Keith, and he was talking about a new code and a new type of fastener I had never heard about for putting up hurricane shutters. And they're basically hanger bolts. If you're not familiar with a hanger bolt, they have the traditional ones. There's no head on it. It has machine threads on one end and wood threads on the other. And this is similar, except it has a masonry screw on one end and a machine screw to accept a nut on the other end. So the idea, the kit comes with a little driver, and you drive it into the wall, and with the masonry, so you just drill a pilot hole and you drive it right in and into the concrete, through the stucco, into the concrete block, and then sticking out would be the machine bolt end of it, where you put on, and it comes with wing nuts to hold the shutter in place. But yeah, he's going to have to find out if these anchors are even there. Sometimes they fall inside the wall, depending on where it hits that hollow block. And there's a company, the one that I know, other companies might make it, but there's a company called All Points Screw and Bolt in Pompano Beach, Florida. They sell this kit with these special hanger bolts made for installing hurricane shutters.
Yeah, there you go. We hope you never have to use them. If you do, you want to make sure that they're ready to go. Let's go to some emails here, and we'd love to get one from you. All you have to do is go to todayshomeowner.com/ask and send us one anytime. Joyce writes one in, says, I have a gravel driveway with several potholes. Does Quikrete have a product that I can use to fill in those holes? Thank you very much, and I really enjoyed listening to you and Joe every Saturday morning. Well, thanks for that, Joyce, and keep listening. And as far as potholes on a gravel driveway, certainly you can rake the gravel back. You can put in some concrete in any of those areas that continue to create holes, and then put the gravel right back on top of it. So certainly Quikrete has plenty of products along those lines. Of course, there's also granite in a bag, but also I think about the foundation material we use for the pavers. The paver base is what we call it.
Right.
It's a pretty inexpensive, available at Home Depot. It comes in easy to carry bags. And I'll tell you, that stuff will pack like you wouldn't believe. So pulling that gravel back again, putting this material, which is crushed stone and crushed concrete, put it in those holes, then you would generally use a tamp that you tamp it down to compact it. And boy, that works. That just works fantastic. And I think you'll be happy with that, Joyce. Let's go to another one here from Dayton, Ohio. Peter says, I bought one of those DIY wooden bookcases that you put together yourself. Measures about 10 inches deep, 4 feet wide, and 6 feet high. Has 4 adjustable shelves. The problem is that when I loaded the shelves with cans and boxes, the sides bow out slightly, and the shelves slip off the little pegs. I tried screwing through the sides into the end of the shelves, but they're made of particle board, and the screws just didn't hold. How can I keep the sides from pushing out? Joe, you know, I think about a small, thin piece of plywood that you glue and staple or nail or screw to the back of a wooden bookcase is amazing how it can really strengthen that. And that way you're able to put a fastener in your verticals as well as the horizontal shelves. And I think that might be a good way for Peter to really kind of tighten this up and sturdy up this DIY bookcase that he put together.
Yeah, Peter doesn't mention whether it has a back or not, but yeah, if it doesn't have a back, I would certainly put either strips of plywood or a quarter-inch plywood back on it. But I've seen them, like, this is 4 feet wide. I've seen them with a back. They still bow out a little bit, especially depending on what it's made out of the material. And what I've done, which worked great, is I've gotten a couple of angle irons, just right-angle irons, pieces of metal, could be almost any size, and you go up underneath a shelf right in the middle, and you screw it to the underside of the shelf. Obviously, you do this on each end of the shelf. Screw it to the underside of the shelf with just like 3/4-inch long screws. And then you clamp the bookcase or somehow use a piece of rope and a stick like a tourniquet and squeeze that bookcase back together so the sides are perfectly straight. And then you screw the angle iron, which is now screwed to the underside of the shelf, you screw it to the side of the bookcase. So now it can't pull out because the shelf in the middle, of course, you do this in the middle, is screwed to the sides. It's not adjustable any longer, but it's going to keep those sides from bowing out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that working very well, you know, because a lot of the part, and it might just be a little overloading here because talking about some particle board things that maybe 4 foot span there. It's not going to, I mean, you know, loaf of bread, no problem. a lot of soup cans, maybe a little more problem. So might be a little bit of a middle of the road there to be able to reduce some of the things that you have on or some of the heavier things you put closer to the side. So hopefully, Peter, that helps you out. And again, if you'd like to send us an email, very easy to go to todayshomeowner.com/ask and do that very thing. Hey, coming up, I'm going to tell you about a brand new insulation that's so much easier to use. And also, we're going to talk about the right steps in painting your kitchen countertops. All of that and a whole lot more coming up right here on Today's Homeowner Radio. We'll be right back.
At the Home Depot, we have Black Friday savings all through November. And with that comes a joyful holiday bustle that we just love to hear. Although we also love the sound that comes after the holidays, when people put their new tools to use. In fact, we love it so much, when you buy select Milwaukee M18 kits, you'll get an extra tool for free. So after you're done filling the air with holiday magic, you can fill it with the sounds of doing. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Tight Bond, the Pro's Advantage.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, where it's time for our Best New Product segment, brought to you by the Home Depot, how doers get more done. Now, you're probably thinking that fiberglass insulation is nothing new, and you've seen this pink stuff before, but the folks at Owens Corning have completely reimagined it with Pink's Next Gen fiberglass insulation by making the fibers themselves finer and weaving them a lot more tightly together. And what that does is several things that you'll like. First of all, it makes the material softer and more shed resistant for more comfort and a lot less cleanup. It also allows for faster installation because it cuts and splits cleanly and the bats recover instantly. That means the product fills the cavities you're trying to insulate more completely. It's a lot easier to use. You get exceptional performance. So while it still may be pink, this is definitely not your father's insulation. So find out more by going to homedepot.com or drop by your local Home Depot. They have it in stock in most all of the stores throughout the country. Great time of the year to be thinking about insulation. You can add a little extra layer or blanket of insulation in your attic and you'll start saving money right away. Okay, we're going to get right back to the Today's Homeowner Hotline. Encourage you to reach out to us anytime at 800-946-4420. Rhonda joins us right now from Beverly Hills, Florida. Rhonda, welcome to the show, and tell us about this project you're about to tackle.
Okay, thank you. Well, I have done my bathroom cupboards, and they're the same as my kitchen cupboards, but I think I need a better or stronger paint, more endurance, because it is in the kitchen and it will get more use. So I'm looking to see if you can give me some advice on prep, but some of the prep products, or, you know, I know TSP, I've used that in the past, but also what paint would you recommend for the best endurance on a kitchen cupboards? And would you spray paint them, or can just painting, because I used a brush on the other ones first, and they turned out well. It's just, I want your opinion and your advice.
Sure, sure. Well, all great questions, and also a great project that always has a very positive output on that. Well, right now, are they stained or are they painted now?
No, they're just laminate. They're the basic builder cabinet, builder grade.
Okay, so they're plastic laminate on the outside of the doors.
Yeah.
Okay, a little tricky there. You know, you can paint laminate. It's just not going to hold up as well because of it having, you know, just such a slick surface. So one of the best ways to prep that is to lightly sand it. You want to, you know, just lightly sand it to kind of knock the sheen off of it. And I would imagine you're probably going to be using something like 100 to 120 grit paper in order to etch that. Once you get it lightly sanded, you're not trying to change the color of it or anything. You're just trying to basically do a deep cleaning on it. Then use a rag with a little bit of mineral spirits on it, just a little bit to moisten it, and wipe all of the dust off completely. At that point, we always recommend using what's called a bonding primer. This is one of the most important steps to really seal the pores of that material and to, you know, to facilitate a surface that the other paint will adhere to. Now, this is where you can kind of define different people's opinion when you're talking about whether to use oil paint or not. For the best durability, without a doubt, a semi-gloss or eggshell oil paint is probably going to be your best bet. It's a, you know, a little more aggravating, a little harder to clean up. I would still recommend two coats after the coat of bonding primer, and I think that's going to give you your best results. Naturally, spraying is a great way to go, but it does require a lot more prep, a lot more cover-up, and if you're not familiar with spraying and hadn't done it, it might end up being a little bit of a mess. So if you've had success with the painting of it, use a good quality brush, make sure it's a nice clean brush, and your strokes are done in a good way, plenty of light so that you can see everything going on. You might just want to stick with that since you have that experience with that. But that will give you, in my opinion, the most durable finish you can get instead of using a latex for that, though the acrylic latex is commonly used.
Okay. All right. We are doing our coners also, but I have done them before, so we're going to need to sand those down and do them. We're going to do epoxy over top.
Rhonda, the only thing I would add is that they do make paint specifically designed for cabinets, and it's just generically called cabinet paint. So, you know, when you go shopping for paint, do look for something like that. And they recommend a primer, use the primer that comes from that same manufacturer, because you don't want any chance of it, especially because this is plastic laminate. You don't want any chance of either the primer coat or the top coat failing. So look for a good grade cabinet paint. The one I used for my paint in my cabinets was from Benjamin Moore. I think it's called Advanced is the line of paint. And you've had good luck painting before with a brush. I agree with Danny. Do that again. Get a little flow trowel if you've not tried that before. It allows the paint to flow much more evenly and level out much more smoothly. So it helps eliminate brush strokes.
Okay. Now, Jen, it sounds like that the cabinet paint does not come with built-in primer in it, correct?
No,
so I will get a separate one.
In this case, I would definitely get a separate primer because you're dealing with plastic laminate.
All right. That should help because I have had to touch up too many times on the bathroom ones already, and I don't want to do that with the kitchen. All right.
Well, good luck.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Of course. Call us back with any other questions or concerns.
Okay. Will do.
Okay, Rhonda, thank you very much, and have a great weekend. All right, best of luck on that project. I'm sure it'll turn out just fine. Here's a quick email from Monty in Tennessee. Every time we cook in the kitchen and use the range and the stove at the same time, it gets extremely hot in the kitchen. We live in an older home with older appliances. What can we do to reduce the heat buildup whenever we cook? Is it an insulation issue? Most likely it's a ventilation issue that, you may have an exhaust fan, you may have an over-the-range microwave, and you may think that fan that they have is moving that hot, moist air out of your home. Well, sometimes, especially with a microwave, it'll be recirculating that and doing you absolutely no good in trying to keep your kitchen or any other area of your house a little bit cooler. So you want to make sure that exhaust fan is running good, it's nice and clean, and most important, that it's exhausted all the way to the outside. And taking the most direct route to the outside will ensure that that range hood is working at the best efficiency that it possibly can. Monty, I think that's probably all you'll need to do to keep things nice and cool there in the kitchen. Hey, you're listening to today's Homeowner Radio. I'm Danny Lipford along with my buddy Joe Truini. We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Deitch Coatings. Easily roll on your new stone countertop, garage floor, and more in just a weekend with Deitch.
Right now, we're going to go back to the Today's Homeowner Hotline. Linda's on the line from Bowling Green, Missouri. Linda, tell us what's going on at your house, and welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi, Danny. I was just trying to get some humidity into our home. We have a ranch home. It's about 2,100 square feet. We have a cellar, so we don't have a basement, but we do have, and we do have boiler heat. So there's no way we can put like a whole house humidifier on like a furnace like normal. So I'm trying to figure out a way to get some humidity in the house this winter so we're not shocking each other. The clothes don't stick to you. And I don't really want to buy a humidifier for each room.
I got you. Okay. All right. Well, certainly Joe can give you an opinion on that. I was going to suggest to you also to pick up, if you don't have one, a little simple digital hygrometer. It's just a little small little digital readout that you can move around to different parts of your house. It's just kind of a little bit of a science experiment to tell you what relative humidity percentage you're actually dealing with. Now, certainly if you have a lot of static and you're seeing those kind of signs like that, it certainly is an indicator that relative humidity is down lower than it should be, because you really don't want it lower than 30 to 50%, something like that. But Joe, the question in terms of introducing some humidity in the home here for Linda, what would you suggest? Because you have boiler heat and have for many, many years.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I have. So Linda, I assume you have hot water baseboard heaters. Is that how you heat your home? Okay,
uh-huh.
Yeah. So for people who aren't familiar, the boiler just boils water and pumps it. There's a pump that distributes it through pipes and baseboard heaters. And you often don't even need a traditional water heater with this system, because the boiler creates both domestic hot water for showering and then hot water for heat. Now, these systems very seldom dry out the air. So I'm not sure why your air is so dry. With a forced air system with a furnace, of course, it's blowing hot air through ducts throughout your house. So you can understand why the air is so dry. So I'm not really sure, since this system is not doing that, why your air is so dry, but let's just assume it is.
Okay.
There's a company called April Air. And it's April like the month, and then air with an E at the end, April Air Systems. And I believe they have a whole house humidifier that they can retrofit to a boiler. But you'll have to check them.
Okay.
Check to find out. Because, yeah, it is, you know, to have, you know, there's a great advantage of having whole house humidifier as opposed to the individual ones. You're moving from room to room. You have to keep checking the water, because the whole house ones are plumbed into your plumbing system. That water is linked directly to the humidifier, so you don't have to worry about it. But for people who aren't familiar, like Danny lives in the South, he has no issue with humidity. I live in Connecticut, and with that dry air, I mean, you wind up with itchy eyes and bloody noses and sore throats, and makes wood shrink. And there's a lot of reasons to add humidity.
We have a lot of antique walnut furniture that I'm concerned about too. This will only be our second winter there. And the people that we bought the house from had lived there for like 30 years. So I'm not sure what they did.
Really? Well, maybe they just had the small portable humidifiers just in the rooms that they lived in. You know, maybe they only lived in a couple of rooms.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, I will try. I'll check on this April Air and see what they can do for me.
Okay. All right. Good luck, Linda.
Okay. Best of luck to you. Yeah, that can be. Boy, I'll tell you, that static electricity is such a phenomenon.
Oh, yeah.
You're walking over, you put your hand on someone's shoulder, zap, why'd you do that? I mean, you tasered me. No, it wasn't a taser, dear. Just a little static. Of course,
dark enough, you can actually see the shock. Lightning bolt.
Now, that, you know, very rarely do we have those kind of situations in the Southeast. But, but I also think about when we're trying, you think of the reverse scenario of that and trying to lower the humidity in your home. Well, if you have a fairly sizable room, you know, one that's made just for rooms, you know, if it lowers the humidity in one particular room, it affects all adjacent rooms.
Right.
Same way I would think with introducing moisture into a home, and maybe you move it around periodically, but introducing that moisture in a home, it's not going to just stay in that one room if you have any air movement whatsoever, and you'll have thermal movement where you have your baseboards moving that heat up, and, you know, so you got that air moving around a fair amount. Hopefully everybody has their fans turned to clockwise, not counterclockwise.
Ceiling fans, right.
Ceiling fans, that is, to move some of that heat down. So, you know, some of those things. So it might be that a good quality April air type of system like you're talking about will be all that Linda needs to really adjust that, because that's going to be an aggravating thing to go through winter with.
It can. And if you wake up, you know, with sore throats and itchy eyes, you know, it's because everything is so dry. Your skin, your hair, everything's all dried out. And you wouldn't think it would matter that much, but it does. You know, that's why you're supposed to sleep in a cold room, by the way, like 62, maybe 64 degrees, which sounds way too cold for most people. But if you get a good blanket, you know, this way you're not sleeping in a room with that hot air blowing on you.
That's right. Yeah.
Wherever it's coming from.
Hey, coming up, it's Simple Solution Times. If you need to do a little caulk around your house, Joe's got a tip that'll make it a little bit easier. All of that and a lot more coming up here on today's Homeowner Radio. We'll be right back.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Duck Brand Weatherization Products.
Okay, Joe, it's time for that simple solution, and we're talking about caulk today. So tell us how we can make that next caulking job go a little easier.
All right, this is a way to apply caulk to the most common joint, which is a square joint inside corner, you know, where two surfaces meet at 90 degrees. That's typically what people are caulking. And that can be challenging because it's easy to squeeze out too much caulk, which of course is wasteful and creates a mess to clean up. So here's how to produce a perfect caulk beads in those 90 degree corners. First, snip off the tip of the caulking tube at 45 degrees as you normally would. Then you're going to take a piece of 120 grit sandpaper, fold it in half, increase it very tightly, and place the sandpaper in the corner of the surfaces that you're going to get ready to caulk with the abrasive surface facing out. And then what you're going to do is you're going to take the tip, which you've snipped off at 45 degrees, put it in that corner and rub it back and forth. What you're doing is you're altering the angle of that tip so it's not only cut back at 45 degrees, but it's also beveled at 90 degrees. What you're going to find is the tip will now fit perfectly into that joint. In fact, if you go to todayshomeowner.com/simplesolutions, you'll see a video of me demonstrating this tip right here. So once you get that adjusted using the sandpaper, then move the sandpaper out of the way and draw with a nice, steady, even pressure all the way across the joint. You'll see you'll get a nice, even bead, no excess caulk, which again is wasteful. Not even wasteful, but then you have to clean it up and throw it away. Mm-hmm. So try this next time you're caulking one of those 90-degree joints.
Boy, I love that one. I love that simple solution. That'll certainly help a little bit. And it's taking a mundane task and making it a little easier and making your work look like a professional did it. And you can see that in a whole lot more simple solutions by going to todayshomeowner.com/simplesolution. Hey, I also want to remind you about our television show and what you can see. Now, we're in our 25th season. We're having a fantastic time this year, kind of reminiscing a little bit. But this week, a brand new show called New Homeowner Upgrade. Now, if you've got a new home, that doesn't mean, now we're not talking about a new home, we're talking about a first-time homeowner here. This young lady, Abby, realized that, boy, that air conditioning heating system, even though it was working, was very old. So, brand new heating and cooling system from American Standard. Also refinished all of her countertops. Kitchen looked okay, but only okay. Now it looks fantastic with the refinished countertops and a brand new backsplash that we installed. Also saved her a good bit of money on a big water leak she had in her toilet and showed her how to rebuild a toilet using a Fluid Master product. So we got a lot of good information in the show, like we do every show, and hope you'll have an opportunity to see it this weekend. Just go to todayshomeowner.com and find out where you can see it in your area. And also want to remind you that you're able to see over 550 episodes, past episodes of our television show, by going to some of our streaming platforms, Xumo, Crackle, Tubi, Freevee, Pluto, and Roku. And also we have our own channels on Samsung television, as well as Vizio Smart TV, LG Smart TV, all have channels that you can see the Today's Homeowner television show. A lot of things that we're doing there, and we'd love for you to be able to see what we do on TV as well. And you can see Joe's smiling face each and every week presenting a video version of Simple Solution. Boy, that just never ends, Joe. We have so much fun, so thankful for everybody on the that watches our TV show, that listens to our radio show and podcast. We've got a lot to be thankful for around here.
Oh, absolutely. Especially this time of year, you start thinking more about that, right, as Thanksgiving approaches. But yeah, Danny and I are just thrilled to be on the radio, on TV and podcasts. And we often say, you know, being on the radio is like one of our favorite time of the week. You know, mm-hmm. we're not being called. The phone's not ringing. We get to sequester ourselves into mm-hmm. our booths. He's in Mobile, Alabama. I'm in Roxbury, Connecticut. And we manage to make all this work. And we really do appreciate each and every listener.
And if we can help you anyway, we always tell you about it. You can call us anytime. 800-946-4420 is the Today's Homeowner hotline. And send us an email anytime you'd like. Todayshomeowner.com/ask. Well, that's going to wrap up this hour of Today's Homeowner Radio. Joe and I certainly appreciate you spending some of your busy weekend with us here. Thanks so much for being with us.